So let's go back. There's some history on mom's side that you informed me about Papu Derzis and the fruit stand he had across from Union Station in Birmingham, and his little run-in with the Ku Klux Klan, which I guess was quite common at that time with immigrants in the South.
Yeah, no, that wasn't. That was obviously before the war.
Yeah, so let's go back to 1919 or something.
Yeah, Sam Derzis had this fruit stand located at across from the Annul restaurant, whatever you want to call it, across from the station, Central Station, I think they called it, on the IC track in Birmingham, Alabama. And he was fairly successful with it. Excuse me. And the story goes, the story that I was told, was three gentlemen came in and talked to him and says, "Sam, we want to buy your place." And he said, "Well," he said, "it's not for sale." They said, "Think about it." So they asked him three times for him to sell, and then finally they came in one time and he said, "Sam, we're either going to buy your place or we're going to tear it up. Now, which do you want to do?" He said, no, you can't do that." He said, "Neither. You're not going to tear it up, and you can't buy it." So with that, they started breaking the chairs and the table, and I guess he went in the back, got a gun, and shot one of them in the leg or something. Well, of course, times being what they were in the 30s, he was the one who was persecuted, and since they were going to send him to jail for shooting somebody. But then the deal was, turn over your location to the gentleman, give them the business, and you won't go to jail. So that's what he did, unfortunately. He had to give up his business to these gentlemen who were trying to buy it, because they were going to get it by hook or crook, and obviously they did.
So I know this is on mom's side, but you probably know more than she, because she was a little more protected and sheltered. But Uncle Gregory told me one time they had a, with his father Sam and his brother Pete, they had a decent bootlegging business, selling liquor out of the back of the garage in Birmingham. Do you know anything about that?
Very, very little, outside of the fact of what you just mentioned, that they did have something like that, and it was, I guess, fairly successful, which they enjoyed a pretty good income from, I guess. And that was it. That's all I know about it. They never really let loose to me about anything like that.
All right, and so Let's go back a little further. You mentioned your brother was working at the Stratford Theater.
Yes.
And didn't he have some kind of incident where he broke somebody up or threw him off a balcony or a fire escape or something?
Well, my brother Spiro was a very quiet person. But he was mentally tougher than anybody I knew. He had a common sense toughness, which he was always protecting me. Nick wasn't with us at the time. You know, when I say Nick, he was always home in the house. You know, he always made sure that I was protected. And he started working there very early. He was tall for his age. So he started working at the Stratford, I think, when he was a freshman, maybe as early as a sophomore, but he started working. He was tall for his age, and he became one of the head ushers at the Stratford Theater, which was a Warner Brothers theater at the time.
Where was that located at?
Six, 63rd Street east of Halsted, which was at that time the second largest retail location in the city. First being the Loop, second being 63rd in Halsted. And, of course, boys, like every, it was always, boys would always try to sneak in. And the ushers always tried to keep them out. So one time, this one gang kept trying to sneak in, and they always caught him. And until finally, the one guy says, "I'm going to sneak in, and you're not going to stop me. Otherwise, I'll beat you up." My brother said, "Well," he says, I hope you don't." He says, "But you're not going to sneak in." Well, as it was, this boy and his gang were coming, trying to get into the theater through the fire escape leading to the balcony. And my brother met them on the fire escape and says, "You're not coming in." With that, this leader took a swing at my brother with a pair of brass knuckles. My brother grabbed his arm, took the brass knuckles away, and threw him off the fire escape, and the boy wound up being in the hospital. And what they say, his father was a police officer, and we came by and asked if my brother felt sorry for what he did. And he says, "No." He said, "Here, your son was going to hit me with brass knuckles. Why would I feel sorry for him? If he'd have smashed my face up, would you have felt sorry for me?" So he said, "No." He says, "I don't care what you do." He says, "I don't feel sorry for your kid." And he said, "I'd do it all over again." Anyway, he had that kind of toughness.
What about the time that you guys have a little altercation with some boys with baseball bats where you made fun of them?
Well, that was over on the north side, where we got together with the cousins and my cousin Pete and his cousin and the Batsakis, Jim Batsakis and the Anthony boys and I. They were the Irish kids from around Addison Street. We set up a baseball game at Bell School. So we went to Bell School and we were playing them, and we had an umpire and everything else and for money. And at that time, one of the few times...
Hang on a second. I can hear Mom talking all the way down here. All right, go ahead.
At that time, my brother was with us. And I came to bat and hit a long ball, reached at a ball way out of my reach and hit it in the right field, bouncing off the wall, which was automatic home run, and won the game. And they said, "Oh, no, you can't do that." And he said, "You have to try it again." So he says, "Okay." So I did it again, and doing the same thing. And then the third time, I hit the ball, so we won the game and took our money.
Hang on, who is it?
John Spakis.
Just say stop.
Yeah.
All right, okay. You stopped about the baseball game. You said you don't.
Oh well, anyway, we won the game. After that, we went to collect our money, and there was a big discussion. Of course, here the Greeks lined up on one side, the Irish kids lined up along the other side, and the Irish kids, it being in their territory, were outnumbered us about 5-1. And my cousin Pete Spear, he was yapping with their leader, and all of a sudden, my brother Spiro, Spike, was jabbing each one of us in the back and slipping us a baseball bat. What he had done, when all the chatter started, he picked up all the bats. And then he started passing the bats out to all the Greek boys. So all of a sudden, when it got to be a little hostile, the Irish started flexing their muscles. All of a sudden, they saw the Greeks had equalizers. And so Pete and this boy started talking about, oh, yeah, no, yeah. So the kid says, well, he says, let's solve the problem. Let's solve it one way. You and I will fight. And Pete says, oh, winner takes all. He says, yeah, winner takes all. So they dance a little bit, and then Pete hit the kid a shot, and down he went. Down. And he reached down, grabbed him by the head, gave him another one uppercut, and stood him up and let him fall on his face again. And he says, I guess I won. And they came over, they turned over all the money, which wasn't a lot of money. Might have been $100, $150 at most, between two teams. You know, and we walked away, you know, with the Irish kids saying, stay away out of our territory, Greeks. We'll take care of you. I'm saying, you ain't going to take care of us because we're not coming there, but you ain't going to take care of anybody as long as we got the bats. So we all walked away, and that's the end of that story. But Pete was a very, very good fighter. I know that when we had trouble at the store, and Spike was good too, but when Pete was at the store, he'd solve the problems real quick. You know, and people say, well, how about you? And I still say, to this day, the word got around, if Pete's in the store, don't fool around because he's going to kick the shit out of you. And the thing is, they didn't know which Pete. So I earned a reputation not by any stretch of my doings, but the fact that my name was Pete. Because I got news for you. We had many incidents where once we had a truck driver come in, big burly guy, and he was using foul language, which we did not allow them to do, use foul language in the store, because my two female cousins were working there too at the time. So Pete told him to shut, you know, just watch your mouth. And the guy says, who's going to make me? And Pete says, well, you keep swearing. He says, I'm going to kick you, I'm going to throw you out. And the guy says, oh, yeah, yeah. He says, yeah. I said, wait a minute, nobody fights in here. So the guy says, we'll go across the street. I says, okay, you two go across the street. Pete says, hold my apron, I'll be right back. They went across the street. A couple dances and boom, down with the truck driver. Pete came back, put on his apron. He said, did he pay for his coffee? but Pete was that tough.
How about you told me one time there's a guy at the Aragon Ballroom who used to cut in other guys' gals and then take him outside and
Not at the Aragon.
Where was it
at? Not at the other ballrooms. The other ballrooms. I was at the Paradise, at the Irish Club, but others. We'd go dancing to things, and this guy was from the West Side. He was a tough kid, Ray was a very tough kid, and he always wore a hat. And Ray, I saw him a couple times at the Paradise, where he'd get in an argument, and, you know, of course, the bouncers, no, you got to go outside and fight. And Ray would go outside, and he'd say, just a minute, he'd go take off his hat, and he let his hat drop. And the guy he was fighting was sort of following the hat down with his eyes, and that's when he got pulverized. Boom, and then, you know, the fight was over. So we were, I'm trying to think, it was the Union Hall on 79th Street. He was on the south side at the time. And I was dancing, and he started trying to cut in, and I said, look, I says, you know, she said, I don't really want to dance with you, Ray. Pete and I danced together. And the guy was starting to say things, and then finally, you know, I said, look, if she don't want to dance with you, she don't want to dance with you. He said, I want to meet you outside. I said, okay, you're going to meet me outside. So we went outside, and sure enough, Ray had his hat on. And I says, I've seen you in action, you know. So he took his, you know, we're out there and squared off. He took his hat off and he dropped it. The only thing is, he didn't see the punch coming because the hat never got below the eyes. I hit him, decked him. He was down and out, and I told his friends, tell Ray, I've also danced at the Paradise. I says, so he came around, and his buddies told him. The kid told him, he also danced at the Paradise, too. He said, well, he sucker punched me. He says, turn around, it's fair pay, buddy. You know,
Somebody's
going to get sucker punched, and might as well be you one day when you pulled it off. But that's all. That's all. We had our problems at the store, but they were solved. You know, it was just that it was a time of turmoil and people feeling their oats in a masculine way. There was no guns or things like that. We defended our turf, our area. Spike, me, Pete, my cousin Jimmy, we speak up. Nobody would. But we had a. I'll tell you another incident to show you Spikey. At the restaurant, we had a drive-in window. We had a young girl who enjoyed boys very, very much. And we didn't know it. She's a nice girl. So she was our drive-in girl, and all of a sudden the kids in the neighborhood, they started crowding around. And we say, hey guys, you know, this is a business. Make room so we can get people to pull up to the drive window, give us an order. You know, we wanted business. So one day, a group of them came in, and they clogged up the driveway and everything else. And it was, we were all there, but Spikey, they were more Spikey's age. And so Spikey says, I'll go out and take care of it. I says, okay. One of the kids had a convertible. And there was about maybe 12, 14, maybe or so of them in cars, you know. And Spikey went over and says, look, fellas, he says, we want you to leave. You know, we told you, don't. They said, well, you know, Mary says, look, leave the girl alone. What she does on her time is her business. What she does on our time is our business. So the one guy started yapping, And he said, look, he said, I'm gonna clean your clock. And Spikey says, I don't think so. So the guy opened the door and started to get out. Well, with that, wham, down he goes. Another guy started to climb out of the convertible. Wham, down he goes. The other guy started to get out all of a sudden. The three of us, my cousin Pete, myself, and my brother Jimmy, we come out of the back door. And we come out of the back door, and Spikey says, I said, get out of here. Well, they looked. Spikey had already taken out two. Here's three more guys, and they're all bigger than him. So they figured, well, maybe it's better. Never had any more problems with the boys.
No, didn't Spike break a guy's leg? You were paying protection to it, money to it one time? Break his arms or legs?
Porsche.
What's that?
His arm.
What happened?
I was paying protection my freshman year.
Yeah, tell them what happened.
When Spike found out that I was paying protection, Spike says, when are you meeting him? So I meet him in the basement of the shop building. You know. So
why were you paying protection?
Because he threatened me.
All right. Go ahead. How much were you paying?
I was turning over my dollar to him.
Okay.
For the week.
All right.
So when he saw me, he started walking to me, and then all of a sudden I saw an arm reach out, and he was big black mother too. He was about 6'2", looked like 650 pounds. And all of a sudden I saw a knife at his throat. I heard my brother say, Porsche, that's my brother. He said, Mr. Spike, I didn't know he was your brother. Mr. Spike, I didn't know. I'd have never taken any money off your brother. He said, Porsche, get over the wall and put your arm against the wall. He did, and kicked the arm. I think he broke it. And he was screaming, he says, Porsche, and then he turned around to all the rest of them and says, that's my brother. He says, ain't nobody gonna fool with him, you know. I didn't realize he was that tough. You know, he was just very quiet, very tough. He just was a different person than the rest of us.
All right. I think we got some copy there. Hour and 25 minutes.